here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Welcome to POV and My Therapist, the podcast where I vent, you listen, and you don't get paid. I'm your host, Divine Philemon. Before we dive into this new season, remember you can listen ad-free with early exclusive access to all of the season's episodes by subscribing to POV Plus on Apple Podcasts. Our new merch is live at www.pov.plus. Yes, that's www.pov.plus, not .com. Don't miss our featured shirt this week, Sad Girls Go to Heaven. The link is available in the description below. I'm also super excited to announce a giveaway. Leave a rating and review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify for a chance to win one of each of our merch items and to get a special shout out on the show. Make sure to check out our newsletter, The Hot Sexy Overshare, released every Saturday on Substack in conjunction with our regular weekly episode of POV You're My Therapist. All of this and more can be found at www.pov.plus. This podcast is brought to you by POV Plus. Our theme music is Still Barkin' by Chad Tuthill. All editing, production, and artwork are done by yours truly, Divine Philemon. For more updates, follow us on Instagram at POV You're My Therapist Pod and at Vine Philo. Check us out on TikTok and YouTube. Without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. Welcome to POV You're My Therapist, the podcast where I vent, you listen, and you do not get paid. I am your host, Divine. And today we are going to talk about a couple things. Are young people having less sex? And why are so many young people anti-sex? This is going to lead us into a conversation about the whole tradwife situation. So if you find that, you know, annoying and you're over it, tap out. Don't, you know, but tap out if you need to. So I was thinking about this the other day because I don't know if you know this, but I'm going through a revival of sorts. So I don't even want to call it a hoe phase because like truly, I just feel like I'm doing what I want to do, you know, without any shame or judgment or any of it. And I'm at this point in my life now where I'm 28. And a lot of my friends had this era when they were like in their 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. They were kind of starting to settle into real relationships, real grown-up relationships, having their first relationships. I did not have the fortune of that happening to me. So while I would love to be in a full-blown long-term relationship right now, I'm not, but I've been so long out of a relationship, even a serious talking phase. I think the last talking phase I had was, and I don't even want to consider it I don't want to consider it anything because I feel that he was probably just trying to get in my pants, but maybe he was getting to know me. I don't know. It was about a year and a half ago. Okay. So it's been a while since I've felt emotionally connected to a man, especially a man. It's been a while since I felt emotionally connected to a man. And before that last guy, I'm trying to think of who the last guy that I liked was. And I can't. I simply can't. I can't remember the last time I went on a real date that I got dressed up and I got, you know, cutified. And I went on a date and I sat across from a guy and I had dinner and we talked. I can't remember the last time that happened, but I don't say that in a way to be upset about it. This is my reality. This is my life. So I still haven't had that in a long time that I recognize that, yeah, that's something I want. Sure, when it comes, hopefully, whatever. But I have other needs that I would like to meet now. Okay? So And one of those needs is obviously sexual in nature, duh. So I'm in a bit of a, you know, I'm just enjoying my body. I'm enjoying that strange thing that happens when you turn 28, 29, where, I don't know if I'm alone here, but at 25, something happened to my brain. Frontal lobe development. And she was like, I don't like guys. She was like, I don't like them. I don't want to touch them. I don't want to look at them. I don't want to smell them. I do not want to see, feel, nor hear them. Okay? So you make sure that they do not come anywhere close to me. And I was really just put off, disgusted by men as a whole. I had no sexual desire, no libido, none of it. That part just did not exist. I didn't care for it. It was not necessary. It wasn't needed. So she really found her way out, you know? But then in the last couple months, and I want to say the last 6 months, insatiable. I don't know what's going on. I've often heard that women enter their prime in their 30s. We're getting there. It's a change. It feels very different. It feels real different. And I'm about to be 30, and that's terrifying. I don't want to talk about that. We're not going to go in there. We're not going to talk about my 30s. Oh my God. And how they're coming. And it's fine. It's fine because I am too. See how I made that joke? Anyways, so I've been exploring. I've been having fun. I've been enjoying myself without the ball and chain around my ankle that is society telling me that I need to be in a relationship every 3 seconds. Because the truth of the matter is, out of all of these guys that I've been hooking up with, I think only one of them, that sounded dramatic. I say that and I sound like a French whore. Okay, I sound insane. But out of all of them, I think only one of them I would have liked to have a long-term relationship with. One of them was terrifying, but in a good way. I don't know. Does that make you crazy? You have to like have somebody and they're so sexy, but they're scary. Like their vibe is just intense. And you're like, oh, I need you out of my house. You're like, do what you do, but then you gotta go. Cause I don't know. I don't like your vibe. His vibe was weird. It was a little intense, but it was a little scary, but a little sexy. It felt like I was walking on the edge of something, getting murdered. I don't know. He was just like scary and sexy. It was a whole thing. But then he started being a douchebag and I was like, all right, you don't get to talk to me anymore. You've lost those privileges of talking to me. Access revoked. You no longer get to hear me talk. You no longer get to laugh at my jokes because he loved my jokes. He thought that was so funny. You no longer get to laugh at my jokes. You no longer get to taste my pum-pum because you're weird and you're being rude and you think like you can talk to me however way and that you can't. Because like I think he felt, let's unpack that. I think he felt like I, because like when I tell you, he was like a giggly girl. Like I was very much giving daddy, like I was very much giving, hey, baby girl, how you doing? And he was melting. He was melting, absolutely melting as he was. And I think once, you know, the man in him, the ego, the machismo, like, locked in was like, you're a pussy. You letting her slip off your panties? Once that locked in for him, he was trying to like big man himself. And I was like, no. I was like, I don't know what you think you're doing, but you're not. So stop. Okay. I'm daddy. I'm big papa. Okay. I'm daddy. So you deal with that. And he really tried to like put his foot down. And I was like, who are you literally talking to? Because this is not tea. This is not how this goes. So anyways, he was not my favorite, but the one that was my favorite. Okay. I'll tell you, he was my favorite. Sorry. Not to like get distracted. We're going to get back to the point in a second, but I'm just reminiscing, walking down memory lane. Okay. The one that was my favorite, his name, I'm going to tell you his name because I know he's not checking for me. His name was Arnold, okay? very French, very, you know, attractive, whatever, very intelligent, you know. My roommate at the time, who we don't talk anymore. She was so funny. When I told her his name, she was like, "What's his name?" I said, "His name is Arnaud." She goes, "Gesundheit." I cracked up. I was cracking up. I was laughing for days. It was so funny. Anyways, so Arnaud was my favorite. It was a French man. It was a dirty blonde hair, a bit of a comb over, you know. He had dirty blonde hair, a bit of a comb over. But, you know, I think that keeps them humble. You know, I think that really keeps them humble. There's nothing better than a sexier man who's going bald, okay? A sexy man who's going bald, that is God working magic. That is God transforming a beautiful, delicious douchebag into husband material. That's what he's doing. Don't question God's process, okay? Because you see that sexy man and he's 6'5", six whatever, and he's taller than you and he looks good from down here. You're looking up, he looks good from down here. God forbid he drops something and he has to pick it up. And then he'd be trying to squat like a baddie to pick it up because you don't want nobody to see the top of his head. No, babe, I saw that bald spot. Calm down. Now I know your weaknesses. It's your follicles. Your follicles are turning against you. So he was slightly going balding, and I was like, you know, perfect. Here's something to be insecure about. Just a reminder that you're human, you know, and he was trying to hold on to it. Anyways, he was so cute, okay? I loved his voice. I loved his accent. His accent was so sexy, and I loved his smile. He had such pretty eyes, and he just looked like a lost puppy. Ah! And then, you know, we got busy, and it was just so great. I haven't had better. There was just such an instantaneous bio connection. And I say bio connection, like we really connected. Like we really connected. And he was really smart. He was studying his PhD. I think he was defending his PhD or something. And some shit I did not understand, girl, and I'm not even going to start. And that's the thing. Like, I love smart guys. I think intelligence is so sexy because tell me something I don't know. I know so much. I'm constantly Googling. I'm constantly asking Siri questions. Tell me something I don't know. Tell me something I haven't thought of. Tell me something I don't know. You know, it's like that really gets me going. That will get you in my panties so quick. Being intelligent? Oh my God. It's a wrap. I will take a smarty pants over anything else. I just want somebody who I can have a conversation with, who can teach me something new. I love that. Anyway, so he was that, okay? He was telling me about like what he was doing and I was like, that's so hot. And he was like, nanotechnology? I was like, whatever. So anyways, obviously he's not sitting on the couch, so you know, it didn't go anywhere. And this is why, right? So we had a glorious night. It was like I'm not in a hoe phase. I'm in my Mamma Mia era. Okay. I'm in my Mamma Mia mama era. I'm the mama right now. Okay. So he, you know, we shared a glorious night on the yacht. Kidding. And we were talking a bit. And then I called him one day and he was like, "Divine, I have to tell you something." Y'all think I'm making fun of him, but that's literally how he sounded. It is not good. And I was like, oh my God, what happened? Like, what's going on? What happened? He don't want to see me no more. And he goes, there was a girl in my lab class and I had told her that I was interested in her. So I was trying to charm her. He was trying to charm her. I know you need a translation. He was trying to charm her. And she was not interested at all. So, you know, I thought, let me just see what else is out there. And then I met you and I really like you. But then all of a sudden on Tuesday, the day after he and I got busy, by the way,
on Tuesday, she was suddenly showing interest in me, and I would really like to see where it could go, and I am very sorry. We could stay friends if you like.
And I was like, I don't want to be your friend. I was like, I don't want to be your friend. And I don't play second fiddle to anyone. No, I don't play second fiddle to anyone. I'm a first choice or no choice, so we can't be friends. Sorry, enjoy her. She'll never be me. Okay, you go ahead and enjoy her. She will never be me. And you have to live with that. You have to live with that. And then I hung up. And then I was like, no, my little french fry.
And that's where we are now. Anyways, there's been plenty after, but none have compared to him at all in any way. Some of them are so dumb. Anyways, so all of that is to say, apparently, though, according to the KFF Health News Organization, in 2011, 22% of Californians said that they were not fucking. Yeah, between the ages of 18 and 30, they were not getting any play, okay? And now that percentage in 2021, that percentage is 38%. I've noticed this on Twitter, and sometimes when I land on the wrong side of the zillennial TikTok, they are so anti-sex. Like, it terrifies them. It, like, terrifies them. And, like, everything to them is, like, sexual assault. Like, recently, I don't know how recent this will be by the time this is out, but, you know, Billie Eilish, she had her remix that she did with Charlie XCX, Gas, 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 Gas. The song is called Gas, and she's like, you want to guess the color of my underwear. And at one point, she says, Charlie likes boys, but she knows I'd hit it. Oh my God, why were the Zillennials saying that it was predatory? They said that it was predatory, that Billie Eilish was being predatory on Charlie XCX's song, that Charlie XCX has last clearance over. They were saying that that was predatory. And not to sound like a fucking boomer, but what the fuck are you talking about? Like, let's get serious here. What are you talking about? Like, I don't want to sound like one of those people that hates everything the young people do, but sometimes they do stuff. And I'm just like, okay, I know why, but why? Let's unpack this. We need to unpack this. A lot of it needs unpacking. So we're going to unpack it because I think this is what it is. I think growing up, and the funny thing is, I've heard older people use this talking point, but they go so left with it, or they go so right with it, or whatever. And I'm about to go the other way. But a lot of them, they'll talk and be like, this is why you don't need cancel culture, because now you're afraid to go up to a sexy, young, hot mama jama, and you're afraid to say anything because, oh, next thing you know, you're a predator. You're a predator. That's what a lot of them, like, will say. But no, that's not what I mean. I think that so many young people have witnessed, you know, the Me Too movement. They've witnessed that they're witnessing all of this stuff. They're seeing all of this stuff. But the education that needs to happen in schools, in sex ed, by their parents is not happening. They are given the tools, but they don't have any handbook on how to use them. So they know, you know, they know what is sexual assault. They know what coercion means. They know all of these things. But the other side of that, which unfortunately goes hand in hand, when it comes to learning about non-consent, I feel like they also don't learn about consent. Does that make sense? They learn about all the scary stuff. They do. So it now becomes terrifying. It's like Catholicism all over again. It's like you will get pregnant and die all over again. This is like what I experienced growing up, but I was like, no. But this is happening through self-education. And that's what I think. It leaves something to be desired here. Catholic upbringing all over again. Because you don't understand how many, Haitian Catholic, by the way, that just adds a level of, you know, trauma. You don't know how many times, if you look at a pee-pee, you will die. Okay? If you have sex, you will die. They told me that when I was
DJing that my ancestors were looking down at me. But the problem with me was I heard that and I said, shit, they shouldn't be looking anyways. I'm a young girl. I'm finna put on a show, you know, so they might lose their spot in heaven and go straight down to hell. If they don't stop looking at me, y'all better stop looking at me. So I was just like, y'all are not scaring me the way y'all think. Y'all are not eating the way y'all think y'all are eating. Y'all are actually throwing up. They try to instill this fear in you. And I don't think it's anyone trying to instill this fear in this younger generation. I think it's just there is a lot to be fearful. And because they're seeing so much of the fear and of the scary, and they also know that there is a lot to lose. And by that, I mean it's incredibly difficult to even think about having a child right now. 16 and pregnant? No. Because you can't afford to feed yourself. You know, they're afraid of financial ruin, okay? So they are walking on a lot of eggshells because it's just scary. It's a scary time. You know, it's an uncertain time. So a lot of them just, you know, they're like, hookup culture sucks. They haven't gotten the opportunity to see any of the good that comes out of, like, sex. It's like they need a summer of love, essentially is what it is. Because, like, all they're hearing is, like, STDs, kids, LOL, assault, you know, how sometimes it can go from being a great experience to a bad experience very quickly. They're seeing all of the bad stuff. They're watching the news. They're, you know, in this echo chamber of bad. And I mean, a lot of us are, but they're not able to experience the other side of it, which is like liberation, freedom. But that's incredibly hard when a lot of these movements, like, you know, free the boobies, a lot of them get co-opted by men and turn into something they're not. A lot of the language gets co-opted. Therapy language gets co-opted. What oftentimes is meant to feel, you know, hookup culture at the start was meant to feel liberating, that you could have great sexual encounters and not have any strings tied, and, you know, it could be fun and whatever. That was a choice that you got to make. But the moment somebody else starts making that choice for you, and by that I mean some guy comes along and they're like, oh, you're not into hooking up, you're lame, you're a prude, you know, once that starts getting used against you, it removes the fun out of it, and it replaces it with fear. So it's like, I understand why so many young people are so anti-sex, but it's like, children, please, fuck something. I'm serious. Something or somebody, okay? Because it is good, and it is a good way to, like, connect with your body. And this is so funny because you guys were here. You were there for it when I was on my celibacy train. And who knows? I might be back on the celibacy train tomorrow. I might be the conductor of it. I might be the person that's like, you get to be celibate. Let's all join a nunnery. I might be that person tomorrow. But right now, I'm enjoying the moment that I am in. I'm enjoying feeling refreshed, glowy, seductive. I'm literally in life. I feel like you're constantly circulating through all four of the Sex and the City characters. And right now I'm Samantha, babe, pre-cancer. I'm Samantha, pre-Smith, okay? I'm Samantha just circulating through New York and doing what I want to do. By Tuesday, I will probably be Charlotte. Yes, I will. I want a husband. I want a child. I'm sorry. Sue me. Okay. And then when I need to get on LinkedIn, Miranda. All right. Will I ever be Carrie? No, because she's the devil incarnate. I rest my case. But yeah, currently I'm in my Samantha era and it's nice. It feels nice. I think I was in my Carrie era for a while and now she's dead. That victimhood has left the building. I said what I said, girl. If you relate to Carrie, it's because you're a victim. Ooh. Because what do you mean you're 30 in a 25-year-old's house eating her leftover Chinese after you slept with her husband, and then you break that poor girl's tooth. Are you fucking sick in the head? You're sick. While I was writing my notes out for this episode, it also got me thinking about choice, right? Because, and I don't mean like abortion choice, because y'all know I'm very pro-abortion. Fuck them kids. But it got me thinking about trad wives. Ah, yes, trad wives. And I remember a little while ago, it was on Twitter, so whether it's true or not, I don't know. But somebody was saying that it was rooted in these very white supremacy ideologies about keeping the family pure, you know, having a wife at home to take care of the kids so that the husband can go to work, come home, impregnate her, and they can keep the race rolling. Okay. I remember reading something about that. I couldn't find it, but I'm sure it's out there somewhere. When I looked up tradwife on Urban Dictionary, the first thing that popped up was often used in right-wing circles to talk about a return to traditionalism, which, if that sounds familiar, Make America Great Again, you know, Trump, that man isn't smart enough to like come up with that on his own. But, you know, they all live in the same circles. So the conversation of the trad wife has been coming up a lot because you have influencers like Nara Smith and Ballerina Farm and these women who are in this very traditional role, meaning that, you know, they're in the kitchen, they're cooking, they're cleaning, they're taking care of the kids while the husband goes to work and the husband gives them the money. And, you know, the wives don't have any money. You know, they live off of their husband's income. They are a stay-at-home wife, no side gigs, no side hustle whatsoever. The case of Ballerina Farm is very worrisome. If you haven't read the piece that they wrote about her, I can't remember. It might have been for The Cut, but just Google Ballerina Farm article. You will find it. Read it, and you will see why it's very alarming and why this woman is clearly in an abusive relationship. So when I think about like this trad wife conversation, Nara Smith can exit out of it because she's honestly just a woman who likes cooking. Like, if we're being honest, the only reason why she gets dragged into it is because she wears pretty outfits while cooking. It's extremely calculated. I feel like it's a better explanation of targeted marketing and like perfume marketing to me, the way she presents herself, than the tradwife-ism situation. I don't think she's a tradwife. And she's made that very clear. Like, it's very clear that her and her husband both work. I'll be seeing videos of Lucky braiding his kid's hair. What part of that is traditional? Like, you know, I know people, you know, they see a woman in a kitchen cooking, they want to scream traditional, because apparently if you're a woman and you like to cook for a hobby, it means you want to go back to the 50s when you can't open a bank account. That's not what that means. Okay, so let's get it clear about what being a trad wife means. I think, though, the danger of it comes in where we have so much different messaging, like literally punching us at every angle. You have this traditional wife, traditional mother, stay-at-home mom, whatever. Then you have the stay-at-home mom that we all think of. It's like the one we grew up with that we know, right? Stay-at-home mom. Well, we all didn't grow up with a stay-at-home mom, but we know somebody who did, maybe. And then you have the trad wife-ism situation. And then you also have the women who are stay-at-home moms and who are in financially abusive relationships. And the thing is, and this is going to sound a bit controversial, but I personally feel that when you are dealing with men, no matter how well you think you know them, you can never really give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, if a man tells you that he wants you to stay at home and take care of the kids and, you know, just take care of the house, he wants you to be a homemaker, I say you answer that with yes, but I'm opening my own checking account. You pay me weekly for my duties. And some people can look at that and be like, okay, well, your payment is him paying for the house that you live in. But it's like, who's maintaining this house? Who's maintaining these kids? You have, being a housewife is skilled labor. Let's talk about that. You need to be a cook. You need to be a caretaker if anybody's sick. So night nurse duties, okay? You need to also be pre-kindergarten, daycare, All right. You need to be made. And you also need to be assistant to however many kids you got and the husband of yours. That is a lot. That is 18-hour days of work. It never ends unless you go to sleep. That is continuous work. If that husband of yours is going to work from 9 to 5, sure, maybe he's depleted by the end of the day. That's fair. But she's also depleted. What do you need? A third person in the relationship. Obviously, you need a throuple. I'm kidding. That was a joke. No, but you need to pay her for the wages that she's not getting outside of the house. This is still skilled labor. And a lot of women, like, I've seen women be like, no, my husband, he takes care of all the finances. I love that. I don't ever have to touch money. It's like, girl, I know you love that man, but I need you to remind you of what human nature is. If you ask him for a bank account and he opens it and it's not a problem and you get paid and he puts money in there and he doesn't have access to it, it's fine. You just stack it up. You stack up your bread, whatever. That's great. If you guys end up marrying until the day you die, guess what? You got funeral arrangement cost right there. You already saved up for it all. That's a nice little inheritance for your kids. A nest egg, if you will. But if for some reason that relationship dynamic changes one day and that man becomes abusive, now you have the financial means to leave. You can be a stay-at-home wife, but don't be a dumb stay-at-home wife. You can be, in all sense, blatant, you know, non-urban dictionary term of the word trad wife. If you want to be a traditional type of wife, sure, go ahead, do those traditional things. But don't forget that you are living this traditional life in a very modern time. And you need to be equipped for that. With all of these conversations about like trad wives, a lot of what I've been seeing is these ex-trad wives coming out talking about how their husbands were so rich and their lives were nice, but they were working so hard. And because it was housework, it was deeply undervalued. This lady yesterday, I saw a video of her. She was talking about how she used to mow the lawn. Girl, you got me fucked up. You want me to mow the what? If you don't pay somebody to do that, because I'm not doing it. If you don't pay Timmy from down the road to mow the lawn, absolutely not, okay? So she was talking about that. And the theme that I've seen is that these men will leave these women high and dry. And I mean dry, not a cent to their name. One lady, and oftentimes these women help these people build these businesses. I've talked about this before. House of Gucci. We've talked about this before. Lady Gaga's character helped him build the business. He left her high and dry. She rotten in prison. Okay. A lot of the themes I see with these women, the men leave them high and dry. They have nothing. There's one woman at the time that she was recording her video. She was recording it in her car because she lived in her car. Her husband got custody of her kids. Kids hate her husband. I wonder why. Okay. So it's like, if you are going to enter a situation like that, just remember to take care of yourself. And whenever I like think about the trad wife conversation, I also think about Shira 7, because I think Shira is an incredibly smart woman. But I think, you know, we take her advice in doses because we always see it on social media, whatever. I'm not one of those girls that like tune into her show on YouTube or her lives on YouTube. So I can't necessarily say what is she, you know, what she's preaching 100%. But I know that she's preaching self. You put yourself first. Okay. You take care of you first. You make sure that you have a nest egg first. Because the thing is, when people are extremely generous, when they are too generous, it doesn't matter if you're sharing your life with that person. When someone is so generous with you, understand that that generosity, if generosity once taken away can throw you on your ass, that is not generosity, that is control. That's not love, that's control. Mic drop. If the generosity that somebody gives you is so all-consuming that without it, you are nothing, you have nothing, that is not generosity, that is control. That is abuse. That is manipulation. That is financial dependency. That is what that is. Real love, I think,
when it comes to this kind of conversation, here is in my head, in a perfect world, how it looks like when a man wants you to be a traditional wife and they also actually love you and they're not trying to control you. Babe, you know what? You stay at home. You take care of the kids. I'll go to work. But you know what? Let me get you a nanny because I know you really like to knit. Okay, I know you really like to knit. And I know you've been thinking about turning your knitting into a business. So I'm going to get you a nanny so that you can work, I don't know, 3 to 7 p.m. and you can do your knitting. And yeah, you can just do whatever you want. Or, hey, babe, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open a trust for you. And every week, this is how much of my paycheck is going to go in there. Because this is the thing. When you are dealing with wealthy people, I have seen on TikTok and I have seen IRL. When you are dealing with extremely wealthy people, you don't know what these people are capable of. You don't. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, how many of us are really ever going to be in that situation of having a super wealthy husband and we're the traditional wife and then whatever, whatever. But these men don't have to be that wealthy to control your whole life, to ruin your whole life, to rip the rug out from under your feet and just make you have to start all over again. It doesn't have to be that, you know, it doesn't have to take a lot of money. Sometimes it's throwing you off course for your schooling. Sometimes that exchange of wages that we're talking about here, that looks like them wanting to take up all your time and you don't have time for your schoolwork. It's them saying, oh, you don't have to go to school. I'll take care of us. Now look at you, trapped with a loser. No degree. You were supposed to, what's going to happen now? What you going to do now? So it's like, these are things that you have to think about. And I think sometimes we as women are so stuck in what's in the fairy tale because we want it. We want it so freaking bad. We want the fairy tale really, really bad. And girl, I get it. I do, because I want it bad too. But at the end of the day, we have to put ourselves first and we have to watch our backs because no one else is going to do it for us. And that's like the thing that I feel like a lot is missed in the conversation of, no, I don't think it's missing the conversation of trad wife, because we're learning it in hindsight through, we're learning it from these women who saw it through hindsight. And it's like, you know, unfortunately, that's a lot of what it is. Hindsight is 20/20. So that made me think about that. And I feel like it's all, unfortunately, like leaning back into a time of like conservatism. And I'm really not a fan of that. I think it's, I don't know. I think it's fine to like have morals and to have a standard of which you live by. But when it comes to these things that so clearly benefit one person more than the other, that's when, to me, it gets a little iffy, you know? So yeah, so that was today's episode. Just some ponderings on why the young people are not fucking. And also, you know, just thinking about these things that we're seeing on the internet and like how, I don't know, it's like people really, they romanticize this old way of life. You know, people romanticize the 1950s. And they're like, oh, if there was a time you could, what era would you go back to if you could? And they're like the 1950s. And it's like, girl, you wouldn't have rights. You know that, right? That little Starbucks you drink every morning because you had a little job that, you know, allows you to get it. You wouldn't have that little job because you're a woman and women don't have jobs. So it's like, are we actually understanding what we're talking about here? Question, you know? So... yeah, so that's just, you know, my little take on that.